Now we turn to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll read from verse 20. And we'll sing another hymn after we've had this reading. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long hold he between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And when the stones be built, he built, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And may the Lord add His blessing to this portion of His word and to some other scriptures which we will refer to later on. The passage that we've read tonight is a passage from the Old Testament regarding how God spoke to His people of old. And Elijah, being one of the prophets that God used to bring His message to the people. And if you were at Lucas Heights this morning, you would have perhaps got the first part of this passage of Scripture, because our theme at Lucas Heights at the moment is "Let's Trust God." And the man Ahab that we've been talking about or reading about tonight, Ahab was a king of Israel. He took the reign from his father Omri, and we find that his dad was he wasn't a person that walked in the ways of God. And Ahab himself, when he took over the reign, we find, as we read in the previous chapter, that Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And perhaps you will notice that the last verse we read in chapter 18 was that Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Well, Ahab, because of his waywardness and because of the way he led the people in worshipping idols and ignoring God, God had to speak. And you know, sometimes God has to speak in very many different ways to people to make them realize that He loves them. Isn't it sometimes we hear that a parent, for that matter, would chastise a child? And most times you will know that the answer, and those of us who are parents, we chastise our children. Why? And we say it is because we love them. And we like to see them do the right thing. We like to see them being loved, not only by ourselves, but we like to see them being loved by other people too. And when they do the right thing, isn't it true that people will come up to you and say, "Gee, that boy of yours, he's a great fellow, isn't he? That daughter of yours, she's really a nice person." And that is because they show respect and they do the right thing. But wouldn't it be wonderful tonight? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if that could be the response from God tonight, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we find that God had to speak to the people in this day in many different ways. And God said to Elijah, "Elijah, I want you to go to Ahab and tell him that there's going to be no rain for 3 years." And so Elijah went to Ahab and he told Ahab that there was going to be a drought. And of course we find that during this period of drought, the people suffered greatly. And they blamed Elijah for the drought that had come upon them. And they wanted to kill Elijah. And you know, it reminds me sometimes of the time with our Lord Jesus Christ, when in fact he came onto this earth and sought to win the hearts of many, and people just turned their backs against him. And here we find that here was Elijah, and he was the vessel used by God to warn these people. But then, of course, they turned against him, and they said that he was the cause of this drought in the land. And so God said to Elijah, "Look, Elijah, I will have to take care of you for a certain time." And so God sent Elijah to a certain place called the Brook of Cherith. And there Elijah was by himself, and God sent the ravens to feed him, to bring him his food in the morning, to bring him his food at night. And there was a little brook, Cherith, running by, and Elijah was able to drink from this brook. But there came a time when, of course, this brook dried up. And then God said to Elijah, "Well, Elijah, I will have to send you to another place now. I want you to go to Zarephath." And this was quite some distance from where Elijah was at the time. And he said, "I will speak to someone there, and there you'll find a widow who will take care of you." And if you read chapter 17, you'll find how that this widow, when Elijah spoke to her, she provided him with food, even though she did not have much for herself and her son. But she provided food for Elijah, and God blessed her, took care of her, even at the point where, in fact, her son had died, and God restored the son back to the family. But now come the time when God, you know, God is a loving God. He's so, so merciful. And God came to Elijah and he said, "Elijah, I want you to go back to Ahab." Now, you know, if you've been sitting under the sound of the gospel tonight, maybe for the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh time, I don't know, and you say to yourself, "Well, you know, I've heard the message of the gospel, I've known that I've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but on that first occasion, well, I got away with it because God didn't come. Second time he didn't come, and I'm still here." But you know, we sang in that hymn, "What if thy calls should weary him, or thy rejection should weary him?" And we really cannot put off this matter of our salvation. We find that God said to Elijah, "I want you to go back to Ahab." And maybe God's coming back to unite to you tonight, in spite of the many times that you have said, "No, not tonight. Maybe some other night." And it's only because God is merciful, he is gracious, and he is seeking to save you tonight. And God has given you another opportunity. So he says to Elijah, "Go back to Ahab and tell him that there will be rain coming." And so Elijah, of course, went to Ahab. And he said to Ahab, told Ahab the news. There's quite a bit of information before that, how that Elijah met Obadiah. Obadiah was the man who hid the prophets, 100 prophets, in a cave, while Jezebel had instructed them to be killed. And so Elijah met Obadiah, and he told Obadiah to give the message to Ahab and tell him that he was coming to seek him. Obadiah, of course, was a little bit concerned, because he said, "What are you trying to do to me? You know that Ahab has been seeking your life. Since that time that you announced that drought, he's been looking for you everywhere." And then they actually pronounced the fact that, "Well, you've disappeared, you're nowhere to be seen." And Obadiah was a bit concerned, because he said, "Well, what if I go and tell Ahab that you are here to see him, and then the next minute you disappear again?" So he was a bit concerned. But Elijah said to Ahab, he said to him, and Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." And so Elijah presented himself to Ahab. And then we find the section that we read tonight, how that Elijah put a challenge to Ahab. Here was a real test now, and Elijah was going to prove who was the true God. And we read how that they built this altar, the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. They were to build this altar and put the sacrifice on the altar, but no fire underneath. And Elijah was going to do the same, and they were to call upon the gods to consume the sacrifice. Here was, well, you might say, a very extreme measure to prove who the real God was, and that God still loved the people and he wanted them to return to him. Dear friend, I ask you a question tonight. What is it that God has to do to prove to you tonight that he loves you? That he wants you tonight to close in with his offer of salvation? You know, God has already done it. He's done it in the death of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. He's done everything there on that cross to procure your salvation. And yet, from day to day, God is still waiting for your choice. And so we find that the people, they built this altar and they cried to their gods. They cried to their gods for quite a long time, until the time of sacrifice. But nothing happened. Of course, Elijah said unto them, "Look, call upon your God even more. Maybe he's asleep or something. Maybe he's occupied with something else." And the people got so worked up that they started to cut themselves with knives, thinking that this would get the attention of their God. But you know, dear friends, we find that there was no answer. There was no answer from their gods at all. And then, of course, Elijah came along and he prepared his sacrifice. And he put the altar down. He put the sacrifice. He told people to get some water and pour water over the sacrifice. He filled the trenches with water. And then he called upon the name of the Lord God. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me this day, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw the result, when the people saw what had happened, they cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." But dear friends, there was a prophet that God used. That God used to bring his word to Ahab, to bring his word to the people, to try and get their attention and to make them realize that there is only one God, the God of heaven, who loved them and that he wanted them to return. We go over to chapter 5 of 2 Kings. We won't read it, but there was another prophet, and his name was Elisha. He was the prophet that followed Elijah. And God used the prophet Elisha to speak to Naaman. And you've heard, perhaps many times, of the story of Naaman the leper. How that he was told to go to the river and wash himself 7 times to be cleansed of his leprosy. Of course, at first Naaman didn't believe, and he didn't understand, and he didn't like the method that was being used. He said, "Are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar far cleaner than the rivers of Jordan? Can I not wash in them and be clean?" But he had to do as the man of God instructed him to do. And you know, perhaps tonight, dear friends, God is speaking to your heart. He spoke to the heart of Ahab, I'm sure. But Ahab, later in life, we find, Ahab did not respond. And Ahab was killed in battle. In fact, he was killed by a bow, somebody that shot him with a bow. But here we find this man, Naaman, even though he had not quite agreed with some of the things that was told him to do, yet he took that opportunity and did as he was told and went to the river and dipped himself 7 times. And we find that the Bible tells us that his skin became as a little child. But you know, dear friends, the message there again is the length that God has gone to bring his word to the people of that day and to you and I. And maybe just turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, because you may say, "Oh well, what has the prophet Elisha and many of the other prophets that God used to bring his word to the people, what has that got to do with me today?" If we read Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read the first five verses, and this is what it says. "God, who at sundry times and divers manners, or different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." What a wonderful passage of scripture this is. Those people in the olden times had to continually offer sacrifices. But you know, dear friends, tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. There is no further offering to be made. No more sacrifices to be made. The Lord Jesus Christ made the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that God wanted for your sin and mine. He paid our debt on Calvary's tree. But of course, we have to apply that to ourselves. It says in verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us." God has spoken through his word. His word reminds us that these are the last days. And dear friends, tonight, if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, I want to tell you that God is speaking to you tonight from his word, and he wants you to trust him as your own and personal Savior. How can this be? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Maybe you haven't got peace in your heart tonight. Maybe there's certain things that might be bothering you. Maybe you're saying, oh well, if I get a few things sorted out in my life, then I'll be able to think more clearly about God's salvation. But you know, dear friends, let me tell you that by putting it off this way, you will never, never, ever get to God's heaven. Because as we sang even, tonight might be the last night we have this meeting. The Lord might come tomorrow. And where will your soul be? Romans chapter 5 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want peace in your heart tonight? Do you want peace with God tonight? Do you want to have that assurance tonight of your sins forgiven? Do you want to know tonight that you can go out of this hall with that real, real peace in your heart, knowing that your sins are forgiven? I know that when it happened to me, I was sitting in the back row, and I was going to be the first one out. But God spoke to me during that meeting. And I came up to the front and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. You don't have to come up to the front tonight, dear friend. Right in your seat where you're sitting, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. But that day, that moment, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I left that position where I had done it and walked back to my seat, I had that assurance in my heart that my sins were forgiven and that my name was recorded in heaven's book of life. Dear friends, do you want that peace tonight in your heart? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We got to continue to read down to verse 8. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friends, that is the message of the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel tonight. That we as sinners, was it our brother Thompson who said not so long ago, the good news is that we are sinners because the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And tonight, dear friend, if you accept that position, that you are a sinner before God, he wants to save you tonight. He wants to close him with his offer of salvation. But you know, dear friends, I suppose one can sometimes, when you come up to the platform, try and turn to many scriptures and try to seek to make plain the way of salvation. But sometimes we can be here for a long time. But verse 8 says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now God tells us all these things. He loves us. He wants us to trust him as our own and personal Savior. He wants us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also has to give us a warning. And if we turn to Deuteronomy and just close with these words here in Deuteronomy. God speaks to the people here, and to me, this is a very serious note. In the Bible, if you read the story of Noah, and you read how the people ignored God's message, how the people said, no, we don't want God, and when Noah was building that ark, the people said, oh, he's a silly man. Nothing is going to happen. And when the rain came, and the ark went up, with those who had gone inside, they beat on the outside and said to Noah, let us in, please let us in. But it was too late. They had made their choice, you see. It was too late. And you know, we have a choice to make. And God is very, very loving, and he wants us to make that choice. And in verse 15 of Deuteronomy, and this is the part that I wanted to say, that the Bible says to us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That's in our own day-to-day, dear friends. And so the message that I'm going to tell you tonight, this last passage that we're going to read, even though it's in the Old Testament, it applies to you and I just as much today. And God says to the people, he says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30, he says, see, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But now here is some important words in verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Dear friend, what a solemn, solemn invitation there from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God himself. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. But God does tell us, he says, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that he shall surely perish. Oh, dear friends, tonight, the Savior in mercy is calling. Will you open your heart to him tonight? Will you stop putting barriers between you and God? Whatever it is you might have been thinking about for tomorrow, you might not see tomorrow. But if God is speaking to your heart tonight, I plead with you, listen to his voice. Ask him to come into your heart and life. If you've tried many other ways, many other things, give God a chance tonight. Ask him into your heart and life. And I can guarantee you that if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life tonight, there will not only be joy in your own heart, but there will be joy in the presence of the angels in heaven. May God bless you, and may he speak to your heart, and may you respond to his call of salvation.